Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. March 26, 2021. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what is the spiritual significance of the Passover? Passover signifies a transition from exiting the control of our corporeal, egoistic and divisive world, and entering the control of the spiritual, altruistic and harmoniously connected world. Such a transition requires the emergence and development of a spiritual desire. In other words, Passover relates to the spiritual process that any person can undergo, on condition that they develop their desire to give, love and positively connect with others above their egoistic drives. The transition is marked by the exodus from Egypt, that is, the exit from the human ego. The time in Egypt of the people of Israel, that is people who have a desire for spirituality, Israel from Yasharakel, straight to God, signifies a stage of growing egoistic desires that do not let the people of Israel unite. Pharaoh signifies the ego's control. He is ready and willing to supply for every egoistic fulfillment we could wish for. However, Moses, which marks the desire to connect above the ego, drives the people of Israel's desire to discover the Creator, that is, the quality of love and bestowal, in their connection. When we find that we cannot connect, we feel that we are in the darkness of Egypt. In that state, we become ready to do just about anything in order to free ourselves from the control of the ego. That state is the escape from Egypt. In relation to a person on the spiritual path, it describes a stage where a person becomes ready to do anything just to break free from the ego, to rise above it and reach the Creator's quality, that is, love and bestowal. We throw ourselves into the sea, which parts, and we cross it. That is, we cut ourselves off from the ego, and by doing so, by being above the ego, we become ready to work with it and transform it into altruism. This is the exodus from Egypt that we celebrate at Passover. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. New Life 1301. Communication Barriers.
Shalom lachem, todah shetem mitzarfim elenu.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. And today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Leitman about communication blocks. Something that blocks our communication, what stands in our way of properly communicating with one another, and how can we overcome it? Nitza, please. Yeah, it's a very interesting topic, because we know that our entire life is actually a kind of communication. We're communicated all the time, interacting. And it's something that we discern. We know about it. Research says so, that there are many factors that are kind of block in the way of a good nearing kind of communication. Today we'd like to talk about what blocks our communication, what's the root, what causes our inability to connect in a good qualitative way with each other. Just in a few words, I can say what the research says, that, for example, selective hearing, meaning that a person hears what's comfortable for him to hear, what's good for him to hear, what serves him in the best way, and what doesn't, he doesn't hear it. Or personal interpretation. Every person interprets according to what he thinks he heard and so on. And this can lead to many different misunderstandings or different perceptions that I have that doesn't allow me to hear things differently than the way I see things. In short, there's a long list of things that do not allow good communication to take place. So first of all, we'd like to ask, what is the root? What is the basis out of which all of these blocks come from? The root of all of these blocks is the foundation of creation, the desire to receive pleasure. This desire, if it is on the still level, among the still, then it holds it together for them to keep the best, most convenient state for them. If it's the vegetative, then it already develops this force. It makes things blossom, advance toward better states, where it's possible to enjoy more, when it will grow, when it will blossom. If it's the animate level, then already have birth and the development of animate bodies, living bodies, one out of the other, and so on. And the human level, the so-called speaking level, that's boundless. Meaning the desire to receive pleasure that exists in the simplest atom that already consists out of two, plus and minus, electron and positron. It already compels creation to keep itself in the most convenient state. And therefore, when we appear as human beings that are so complex and intricate with their different psychological and philosophical methods and also past experience and everything, when we come to communicate with one another, then sure, there are big confusions, misunderstandings. Different methods of how we have to communicate with one another, but still, the very foundation for it all is that at every given moment, I want to benefit, to enjoy me, myself, and also my counterpart. And this is what brings us to communicate. The communication can be like between human beings, like between colleagues at work. It could be between a male and female. It could be between parents or children. There could be different levels of communication, different forms of communication, but always the communication, if it happens, it happens as a result of each and everyone consciously or subconsciously thinking about how to benefit my own situation. Internal, mental, physical, monetary, doesn't matter what. And therefore, there are many blocks, blockages. How does the desire to receive pleasure that exists in a person prevent him from connecting with someone else in a good, beneficial way? If I'm not sure that I'll be able to acquire something to enjoy as a result of the connection with that other person, so that prevents me from connecting, communicating with that other person. I keep my distance. And if I'm a politician, then all in all, it's measured by many different calculations. If I'm with my children, then there too. Why? How? What for? What do I want to get out of them? What kind of change do I want to see in their behavior and so on? If I'm with my family, with my wife, and there are even more complex, well, I wouldn't say complex calculations because they're pretty simple, but they're clearer. Meaning, we always have these blockages, we always have different calculations, we don't simply connect with one another. No such thing. Because each of us, in and of himself, is made up of a very intricate system. And therefore, he does the math and scrutinizes how can he connect to another person in order to gain something from it. This is the very simplest result that has to be, how can I gain from the other person? Now, this is a subconscious mechanism. It's not that he sits and calculates, but there's an inner mechanism that a person is not even aware of that constantly examines, should I, shouldn't I? Is it beneficial? Isn't it? Does it serve me or doesn't it? Subconsciously, a person constantly makes these calculations, and if a person feels that a certain connection to another person, communication with another person does not serve me, then, you know, comes up the block. This what happens? Yeah. It's pretty simplified, but actually that's how it is. You just said that each person consists out of a very intricate system, and when we communicate with another person, each of us has a very intricate inner system in which each of us does the math, how can I benefit off the other person? Now, suppose you talked and I listened. What you explained here, does it mean that when I listen to you or to any other person, when you talk to me, then on the inside, there's this inner engine that's running? Yeah, you're examining. How can you enjoy me? Benefit from me, whether you want it or not. You're constantly examining, what am I listening for? Why am I sitting here? What can I gain from it? It is a program that is working all the time in any living body. Now, this inner program, I thought that it was actually supposed to open me up to communicate with you, because I all the time search and scrutinize how. Because seemingly, it sounds like it wasn't supposed to block our communication. To the contrary, to open it up, because I'm listening and I'm also looking for what can I get out of this. So why do you say that it's the basis for the blockages? Because first of all, what I look for is, can you harm me in any way, damage me somehow? I'm not thinking about the benefit, but first of all, I'm thinking about the possible harm. Should I keep my distance? Should I put up some blockage? Because you also have your different calculations. Will I be able to deal with what you're coming with or not? How can I invert the connection between us into my own benefit? It can be a mutual benefit, so be it. But am I certain that this communication with you is good for me? In general, we see that more and more the media blocks go and grow, the communication blocks. We're becoming more edgy, we're becoming more, because we're developing. Look at children. For them, it's simple. They're as if open to each other in the sandbox or wherever they place. They're open, this is what I want, this is what he wants. They cry, they push each other around, this, that. But the calculation is nonetheless simple. Whereas when we start meeting with each other, when we start talking, and how we do it from afar, when we have some kind of gentleman talk, how are things, how's the weather, you know, distant things that aren't directly related to any of us. What did you hear about this? What did you hear about that? Something neutral. Then we start maybe coming a bit closer to matters that concern us more directly, and to the measure to which I open myself and to the measure to which you open yourself up, we protect ourselves, keep ourselves. So, and who is that person that I'm connecting with? Man or a woman? That's very important in communication. What are we communicating for? Subconsciously, we examine this, or even consciously already. How can I benefit from this kind of communication? Or by connecting with someone, what does it give me? Is it a person that altogether I can turn them to my own benefit? Meaning, there's a series of plans that I can execute toward another person from a point where I had zero intention toward that person, and up to the point where I start using that person completely. You said that children that play in a sandbox, they're relatively open. Yeah, it's clear what each of them wants. I want this, he wants that, this is good, this isn't. Everything immediately works according to, it's immediately executed from thought to action. Okay, and as we grow up, as we mature, what blocks our communication? If as a child I was completely open, then as an adult I already have these different blocks, blockages. What happened? First of all, I want to protect myself. A child doesn't want to protect himself. No, a child doesn't have that protective system. I first and foremost want to protect myself, and so that the other person will not be able to harm me, and to the measure to which that person cannot harm me, I start building a system of communication with that person. That system of communication, first and foremost, is there to make sure that that person won't be able to harm me. And then, how can I get something for my own benefit out of that communication? I tried to examine, while you were talking, I tried to see what is going on inside of me. What I see is that I hear two voices. The one voice is what you're saying, but I hear a much stronger voice inside of me playing like a decoder, like an encoder. It's like coming through a buffer. What you're sending, it comes through a buffer, like MRI scanning it from all sides. So when we talk about communication or communication blocks, what stands in the way? How does it work? What blocks is that we don't understand each other, that each of us has a different goal, that each of us is afraid that the other person might use me, or they think that I must use them, and so on. There's a matter of a gradual, more inner communication that's more goal-oriented. If we understand that, we can be positive to each other, then that's a different kind of communication. That's a big problem, actually. The matter is simple. Man's will to receive needs to tell a person, to prove to that person that it is beneficial for you to develop this communication with another person or not. I recall a talk that I had with a friend who told me in tears that her son, who's 5 years old, she has zero patience to listen to him. When he starts talking, she says, I lose my patience very quickly, and I can't explain the heartache that I feel. He's the most precious thing to me in the world, and at the same time, I can't listen to him. So I'm trying to see, how does the desire to receive pleasure, her desire to receive pleasure, create this block that she can't listen to her child? What's going on there? It's a problem. I don't know what to say here, but surely the thing is that she does not feel any benefit from it. She does not expect to get any kind of innovation from it. She has no big, steady, important goal that she sees in it. Suppose I'd like to hear from my child about something, even about my neighbor, something that interests me. And the child, he talked to her, and so, if so, I'll listen. I have a goal through the child to get some kind of information about my neighbor. But if I'm not interested in it, then what can the child tell me? To begin with, I decrease the importance of communicating with them to zero, because it's clear to me that I won't get anything out of listening, right? meaning there's nothing new to get out of it. That's the thing. The measure to which I can enjoy connecting with another person is something that we talked about. So actually, there's some kind of perception that says that probably he'll tell me what he already said 100 times before, there's nothing new, and so spit it out and scram. That's actually what goes on. Now, it's possible that the block is in me, that I'm not trying to look for anything new. These are already reasons, outcomes. Suppose instead of the child, there's your husband. So you relate to that differently. Because this is for the long run. You can ruin your relationship or something or benefit it and so on. But still, it all depends on your appreciation of it's a level of communication with that person. So how do you overcome the block? We understand that there is a block to raise the importance. Importance of what? As a connection. What is the importance of, how can raising the importance of the connection with the other person, could be a child, could be a grown-up, how increasing the measure of connection influences me, my fate, destiny, and the measure to which I can enjoy it. I'm as if talking on your part. How much can I enjoy it, and then how do I treat the opportunity to connect with that person? What are the advantages? Previously, you said beautifully how every person has some kind of protective system, that there are like these two systems here. First of all, what can harm me? Here I take off probably 80% of, you know, it doesn't cross the barrier. And the other block is, does it benefit me? And maybe that could fall off on the next block. So there are a few blocks on the way. Now, how can I rise above this block? You said raise the importance of the connection. Now, if the connection will be important to me, then actually I'll have some kind of inner interest to rise above it, to make some kind of inner effort. So there are many different kinds of connections that are important to me, like a teenager at home that I can't communicate with, my daughter, for example. The connection with her is extremely important, but still the blocks are there, so you're not preparing yourself to correctly communicate. So that's the question. How can I prepare myself to correctly communicate? Importance. That's the problem. You have to increase the measure of importance. That, suppose, if this will happen, it's very important for me that she will understand this and that. For example, I have these two goals that I set, and it's very important for me that she understands whatever, and it's important for me to understand something that she wants to explain. So I have two pieces of information to implant in her and to get two pieces of information from her. So you're setting a very clear goal. What do I want to get out of the communication with her? Yeah, to really plan it in her. Okay, this is something very tangible, practical. Oh, we can go even further. When I get this knowledge from her, do I want for me to know that she is conveying some important information to me and that it helps us mutually connect, or some third party? And I, when I talk to her, that it's important for me to explain to her, not unknowingly that I'm implanting some piece of information, but that she'll know that what I'm passing on to her, that she will use this information in a special way toward a special person and so on. I want to give an example from a different field. A boss and his employee. The situation between them usually is that the boss tells the employee to do something, and the employee usually doesn't correctly understand him. Why? Because the employee always deciphers it to himself differently than what the boss meant. So the incorrect interpretation blocks the communication. So how is it possible to overcome the incorrect interpretation? They have to act this situation, this scene of their communication, have to act it out in both directions, that the employee, after he hears, and the manager, after he talked and also listened to whatever response the employee has, that they switched roles, meaning, and this is how they'll examine themselves. What do you mean? That the employee will go back, will repeat what the manager told him simply in a way that he would say it and would even explain and prove that what's so important, that it's so important to realize, why is it so important to realize this order and so on. And then that person who has to carry it out, besides going over the words, repeating the words of his boss, he explains how is he going to do it, but not in the way that he's going to do it, but in the way that the boss wants for him to understand it. Each of them will clothe in the other person. What does this exercise build in each of them? Communication. Communication. It's a beautiful exercise. I mean, it's like switching roles. Now I'm the boss. This is exactly what happens in a communication system, that I need to act out the other side who's receiving from me, and the other side has to act out the same role of myself, the measure to which I pass this on to him. Suppose each of the sides in the communication has a different interest, so how will he be able to dress in the other person? So we'll scrutinize it while we're communicating, because I examine the other person to the measure to which he understands me, to the measure to which he understands my situation, what I demand of him, what do I form before him. After we examine, scrutinize exactly what do we do, we even have to write down that which we have achieved in the communication between us, and then we'll have no misunderstandings after that to even sign on it, that this is what the boss is demanding of me, this is what I understood, and this is what I'm going to do. I write it down, and my boss even signs for it that I correctly understood, and then I go and do it. They both have to dress in each other. Yes. So from the manager's side, he came and gave his directions. I'm not sure that I heard his orders. You as an employee. Right. So what do you do as an employee? I have to see. What did I hear from him? I have to clothe in the boss the way he says it to me. What is his goal? What is he passing on to me? What does he want to get out of this action? And the boss examines these things that I'm saying, and if he really agrees with everything that I said, then we're already halfway there. This is especially on part of the worker. Does the manager have to also do the same? He has to understand that I correctly understood. No, he only makes sure that I understood correctly. And there too, he examines himself. Is what he's giving or passing on to me, is it rational? Is it possible altogether? Unfortunately, our time's almost up. Going back to the teenager and the mother, the teenage girl and the mother, that they had some kind of blockage between them. What exercise could we use there? To clothe in each other, the mother has to clothe in the teenager, and she has the teenager. the teenage girl has to clothe and the mother, otherwise there's no communication. What do they do? The way they're communicating is that each is on her own level and they never meet. You know, they're only misunderstandings. So what is the exercise? The teenage girl is talking like the mother, but dead serious. She's acting like her mother. And then as a mother, she's explaining what does the mother have to tell her in what way about what. And the mother has to clothe in that teenage girl and this way to express herself. What does she expect of the mother, who's now the teenage girl? We talked about communication blocks. What is the general advice of how to overcome all these blocks? Very simple. In order for there to be communication, each has to be incorporated with the other, integrated with the other person, in the other person. Thank you very much, and thank you for being with us. And until next time, all the best.
Michael Leitman, on Quora, what is the key to success in life? The key to success in life is in building a society around ourselves that focuses on creating a balanced life for us, all, a society that makes us happy, calms us, and that gives us a sense of meaning. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what does it mean to be environmentally friendly? What does it mean to be environmentally friendly? Does it mean protecting the ozone layer, not polluting, and or replacing fossil fuels with renewable energies, or are we missing something in such acts? We have to care about nature on all levels, from the still, through the vegetative, animate, and of course, humans. It is forbidden to harm any level, and especially the human. How does our attitude to each other affect nature? If we would prioritize positive human connection, we would then relate positively to nature's other levels. We would then likewise see how nature reacts positively to us. According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, hatred among people has negative rippling effects throughout nature. It is the cause of negative phenomena in nature toward us. Nature is constantly communicating to us, and the sooner we wake up to its message, then the sooner we would see how it requires first and foremost that we relate positively to each other. Even the slightest movement in that direction would positively impact nature, and we would bear witness to a harmonious reaction from nature boomeranging back to us. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Michael Leitman, on Quora, are luxury clothes overrated? More and more people lose interest in luxury clothing the more we develop a need for things closer to spirit. The desire for luxury clothing today is due to its value in the eyes of some societies. That is, by being in a society that values such garments, then our own value increases just by owning and wearing them. It is currently a status symbol. People respect and desire wealth, and so by wearing such clothing, it suggests that we are wealthy, which demands respect from society. However, the more we develop, the more we lose the importance of wealth and such status symbols. For instance, if we compare the way we relate to world leaders and celebrities today as opposed to the past, then we see how today we have a lot less respect for their status and their money. The more we lose respect for wealth, the more we will also view wealth as repulsive. We will see how wealth, that which buys us luxury clothing, expensive cars, yachts and frequent international travel just confuses us. Therefore, as we further develop, we will find ourselves buying less luxury clothing simply because wealth and its status symbols will lose their worth in society. Moreover, together with our loss of interest in wealth and its status symbols, we will increasingly respect that which can bring people closer together, as we will grow in our understanding of how positive human connection truly makes us happy, successful, confident and prosperous. Instead of looking up to wealth and its status symbols, we will look up to the ideal method that elevates us from this corporeal level of problems, pains and confusions, to a level where we understand and feel the meaning and purpose of life. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Michael Leitman, on Quora, is the International Criminal Court's decision to investigate Israel's alleged war crimes an anti-Semitic farce? What is ultimately behind the attitude of the International Criminal Court in The Hague toward Israel? The International Criminal Court in The Hague gave a green light to investigate Israel for war crimes. As a result of this decision, government officials, army commanders and soldiers might face criminal proceedings or even international warrant arrests. Taking it a step further, the UN might decide to place economic sanctions on Israel, or even apply military force. The action that the Jewish people will now take is what matters now. Do they have the inner strength and a consent within the nation that they have to positively connect among themselves, to the nation and to the world? If they knew how to correctly organize themselves as a positive unifying example to the world, then of course, they would not have to mind the UN and other such organizations. What awaits the state of Israel and its complicated relationship with the UN? The criticism on the state of Israel works to Israel's benefit as it gives hope that the people of Israel might learn how much they have to change and become more responsible for what happens with them and the rest of the world. The international pressure on Israel urges them to pull themselves together and understand what is their role in the world, and why the world treats them negatively. Anti-Semitism is due to the people of Israel not realizing their role. The wisdom of Kabbalah defines the role of the people of Israel as uniting, love your friend as yourself, in order to be a light unto the nations, as it writes in the Torah. If the Jewish people would prioritize positive connection in order to spread the inclination to unite among humanity, then they would see lessening pressure against them, and in its place, honors and praise for a people bringing a positive unifying force to the world. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Egyptian plagues, locust infestation. Question. The eighth Egyptian plague is the invasion of locust. Locusts are often mentioned in the Torah because they represent a special egoistic level of man that can be corrected. Interestingly, it is forbidden to eat insects except for locusts. What are locusts inside a person? What is this level of desire? Answer, this is a very serious blow. Indeed, the Torah says that you can eat locusts. We know the restrictions that exist in using some desires, spiritual properties, but the property of the locust is allowed to be used at the human level. The locust personifies the level that feeds the animate level of man. That is, it is a transitional step from animate to human. Therefore, it can be used for food to nurture the next level. Question. In principle, locusts destroy everything. How do Kabbalists explain this? They must have seen the root and branch. We know that in egoism there is a state where man works, then his ego takes everything, and he sees that there is nothing left for him. Answer, but he benefits from it. This is the best help because thanks to it man advances. He gets the opportunity to turn to the Creator. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, January 30, 2020. In the embrace of happiness and misery. Question. How should we relate to negative thoughts and emotions? Answer. We should try to rise above them. We must never extinguish them. We need to use them creatively. In our world, no scientific or technological achievements, let alone creative achievements, are possible without worries, without upheavals. Nothing remarkable would be born in our world if there were no crises, strong inner trials, detachments, disappointments, tears, dramas, and tragedies. See what Shakespeare's dramas, Tolstoy's novels, and other literary masterpieces are filled with. Everything stems only from the struggle between opposites, from sufferings, etc. It is the same in the spiritual world, but at the same time, there is a wonderful transformation of these states. They complement each other, coexist together, and do not cancel each other in any way. They are connected to each other in an embrace of happiness and misery, tears and joy, and the middle state is achieved, which brings us closer to the Creator. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 20, 2019. What you need to think about every minute. Question. A student wrote, I saw the video on YouTube How to Overcome Shame. Tell me, please, what should I do? Due to the coronavirus, I lost my business and have huge debts to banks. I have a rented apartment and a young child. How can I not to lose the human in myself? With stress, depression, panic attacks, and insomnia, how does one deal with a temporary difficult life situation? You have accurately described my state of mind. Answer, I advise you to turn off your brain and nerves, to act absolutely mechanically, rationally. What life requires of me today, I must do, without paying attention to what will happen the day after tomorrow and even, maybe, tomorrow. The main thing is today. Understand me correctly, and then you will understand how our world should be realized. We should not think about tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. We should not make any plans for huge changes. We should just think about how at every moment we can be useful to ourselves and to our loved ones, and if we have the correct understanding of the future world, maybe somehow share this with others. Without overly reasonable and philosophical fabrications, keep it as simple as possible. And you will see such a new path, along which you can safely walk, like in a park, and no one will bother you. And if, as it seems to you, they bother you, delve deeper into this path. You will see how everything will resolve and make room for your simple life. And so you will get out of all these problems. The main thing is to live uncomplicated in our time, in this pandemic. And this attitude will lead you to the wisest thoughts and actions. From CAB TV's News with Michael Leitman, February 1, 2021. Mind, connection between specks of feelings. Question, consciousness is our thoughts and feelings. A thought is a product of the mind. Kabbalah believes that there is only the thought of creation, that is, the information field. In this sense, thoughts and heart complement each other. The driving mechanism is the desire of the heart, and the result of processing these feelings is thought. Is thought also a sensation? Answer, if we are talking about the basis of our entire nature, then it is sensation. Just a feeling. In other words, desire and what is perceived in it. The mind is the connection between these specks of feelings. Question, when you say leave your mind, are you talking about an external mind that is detached from feeling? If it is based on feeling, is it already something different? Answer, in order to feel correctly, we need to break away from the mind and then return to it again. There must be reason between the feelings, senses, reason, feelings, reason. However, when they are together, they actually interfere with each other and do not allow each other to develop. Let's say I felt something. Now I can process it in my mind and then as if detach it from myself and try to expand the range of my feelings again. From CAB TV's Meetings with Kabbalah, January 3, 2019. animals will help us become human. Comment: veterinarians say that animals today have a large number of diseases due to depression. There used to be a tiny textbook of 50 pages about pet diseases, and now they fill 500 pages. I read in a Russian veterinary textbook, animals that have a sufficiently high intellect, dogs, cats, are moping. As if they are talking about a person. If it is gloomy and cold outside the window and the house is the same, they are moping. If the owner is in a hurry to walk them, and it is a compulsory program for him, and there is no joy in it, the animals are moping. When the owner himself is in a bad mood, irritable, the animal feels lonely. It seems that they are not talking about animals but about a person. My response: of course, they have a soul. Question: they say that we are giving them everything. That is, they are victims of all our experiences, hatred, and what is happening in the world. Answer: animals feel a lot. A lot. Much more than a human being. Men can forget, he can be distracted, he has such systems. But animals do not. They directly feel what the owner has. And so it lies down next to you, puts its muzzle on your leg, and looks into your eyes, and that is it. There is nothing else for him. You are its god. This is creepy. We do not understand it, we do not sympathize, and we neglect it. Question: because we do not really feel like we have a master? Answer: yes. We do not have such an example. Question: what can this teach us? Can we feel responsible? Answer: in the end, we all influence each other. Still, vegetative, animate, and human nature are related. So even their suffering is connected to ours, and we still feel it at our level. So there are many diseases and many problems that we could treat if we paid attention to animals. That is, through animals to heal people. At this level, we could not allow these depressions and all these problems to spread further. But we cannot appreciate it and accept it. In our hearts, we do not understand cats or dogs. Question: can we say that animals actually appeared to cure us of all these conditions? Answer: we must accept the animals that live next to us as a part of ourselves and begin to realize that we can heal and correct ourselves through them. Question: so you generally humanize them? Answer: no, I just understand the interaction of animals with humans, how much an animal empathizes and how much it complements man and passes human experiences and corrections through itself. Question: what do you mean by corrections? Answer: I mean that if a person pays more attention to the animal that is next to him, he will correct himself through the animal. Why not? At the same time, you give him your part, a little from your heart, a little from your soul. Question: and after that, if I live like this, I begin slowly to treat others like that? Answer: of course. And not necessarily others. Through it, through this dog or cat, or whatever you have. You give out your good attitude to the world by doing this. This is already your correction. Look how they expect this from you, demand it. They have no ulterior thoughts, they are still at the animal level. I think that animals, if we treat them correctly, can help us become human. From CAB TV's News with Michael Leitman, January 2, 2021. The Perspective of the Development of the Soul. Baal HaSulam, The Prophecy: I raised my eyes, and behold, the Lord stood over me and said to me, I am the Lord, God of your fathers. Raise your eyes from the place on which you stand before me and see the whole of reality that I have created existence from absence, upper and lower together, from their very creation in the unfolding of reality through their continuous evolution to their completion, as befits the work of my hands by which to be glorified. The Creator shows Baal HaSulam the perspective of the development of all souls during the period when they begin to correct themselves, starting from our generation onward until all of humanity gathers together in one single group in love, in mutual guarantee, mutual connection with each other. humanity will represent one single soul in which the Creator is revealed. This state is called the world of infinity, a complete correction that we must achieve in the near future. For this, we are given the Book of Zohar with the Sulam commentary. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar, February 16, 2021, number 5. Differentiation within a person. Question: in Kabbalah, there is such a concept as upper light. Can we say that the general information field forms this upper light? Answer: you can give some analogies. But all the same, I would not reduce the information field to the physical, either it is particles or it is waves, because in this way we lower its level, and first of all the level of its influence. The information field is not divided into parts. And the person who perceives it divides it according to its structure. The field itself is indivisible. It carries absolutely all the information, and all the influences that we feel come from it. In principle, we can say that everything we perceive is information, which is then felt in ourselves as some parts of nature, pleasant, unpleasant, etc. That is, all the differentiation takes place within us. From Cab TV's Meetings with Kabbalah, January 3, 2019. The beginning and the end of the spiritual path. Question: is the starting point of the path birth and the final point death? Or are there different points of beginning and end in spirituality? Answer: the starting point is the first original point of your spiritual path, and the final point is your complete end of correction. This is the final point. Along with it you enter a different state, which the wisdom of Kabbalah doesn't tell us about. The wisdom of Kabbalah tells us only about the path from the point that a person awakens to correction until he reaches the end of correction. Everything that happens before that is our corporeal path, and what happens after the end of correction is not explained anywhere because it is absolute, and we don't speak about it. Although there are no secrets here, we cannot simply describe this state in corporeal words and symbols. Our language cannot convey this because our attributes do not exist in the spiritual world. There are no expressions such as, something is lacking, there is something, complete something, get rid of something, and so on. This means that all our states are built on deficiency and filling, and then there is the absolute state. Then a totally different state of the created being begins in which he is totally integrated in the Creator. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 30, 2018. Conditionality of consciousness. Question: how can we check how adequate our perception of reality is? Answer: what our consciousness decides, we accept as the truth and act accordingly. But at the same time, we close ourselves in. Unfortunately, there may be no other way out. In our real world, there is nothing we can do. The problem is that we are spinning in that dimension, in that paradigm, in that relation to the world around us, that come from the tools of cognition that we received from birth. If we were a little different, we would imagine the world to be different, just like bees, snakes, and other representatives of the animal world. They see the picture of the world quite differently from us, either in the form of spots of color, or taste, or warmth, and so on. That is, consciousness and its decoding by our brain are conditional. We live in a very limited, conditional world, which is depicted to us, in our corporeal sensory organs. We do not know what is happening outside of us, because our senses are locked inside. But how can we exit our subjective sensations of the world and somehow imagine the world not being fashioned by our senses, but truly existing? What objectively exists at all? Is there something or not? This is perhaps the most important question. And if there is some objective force outside of us, how does it relate to us? How does it control us? How does it organize us? Is there a higher consciousness? These questions are very interesting to me personally. From Kaptves Together About the Main Thing, September 2, 2018.